Now we pass on with a very interesting remark on the disciple just received her into his own, Mary. The very next line, after this, Jesus, knowing that now all things had been accomplished, the final work of his whole ministry was to make Mary mother of the church and confide her to John. Now that's the final work. Now that all things had been accomplished, in order the scripture be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now this notion of I thirst, which we have right here, you see, is probably taken from the Passion Psalm 22. You know, I thirst. Now a jar was there, full of sour wine. Putting a sponge soaked in the wine on his lip, they brought it to his mouth. This is the last thing he does. When he took the wine, Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is accomplished. And bowing his head, he handed over the Spirit. So, the last thing is this thirst and this tasting the wine. And he says, you see, that it is accomplished. But that's what he says way back in chapter 4. You know, it is my meat is to do the will of the Father and bring his work to completion. Tetelestai. And then, also, in John 13:1, he says, having loved his own, he loved them eis telos, unto the end. Not only to the chronological end, but to the mystical end, the ontological end. The work of God is accomplished now. You see? And so he says that, it is done now, you see, knowing that all things had been accomplished in order that the scripture be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. Now what kind of a thirst was that? Physical, of course. He's lost all his blood. You know, there's a thirst for us. A jar was there full of sour wine. And putting a sponge soaked in the wine on hyssop, they brought it to his mouth. When he took the wine, he said, Tetelestai. All the Father's plan has been accomplished. And so, bowing his head, now, the old translation used to have, he gave up the ghost. The Greek says, paredeken to pneuma, he handed over the Spirit. And so, from now on, the era of the Messiah is the era of the Spirit. You see? And so, this is so important that we understand this, see. Now, we could look first at this first part. All things been accomplished. You see, the last thing was to entrust the disciple to Mary and Mary to the disciple, knowing now, after that, you see, that all things had been accomplished. The last thing to accomplish was to establish this relationship in the power of his sovereign authority and in the might of his blood. And so, now he says, I thirst. Thirst for what? Certainly his whole body was thirsty. But he's thirsting for more than that. He's thirsting for my allegiance and yours, my love and yours. He wants to be with us for eternity. And so, he thirsts. See? Now the people standing there, they took it, literally, that he's thirsty, and he would be. So they put some sour wine up there. When he tasted it, that's the last bitter thing he has to do. You see? He says, it is accomplished, you see. Tetelestai, see? And so, that's the last thing. Now that John, the church has been confided to Mary and Mary to the church, I thirst. It's over. But as I say, that as my meat is to do the will of the Father and to bring it, eis telos, unto the end. And so having loved them, unto the end. The end is now, loving them to the end is now going to be displayed from this whole Last Supper, advice, washing the feet, the discourses, and then the trial, the crucifixion, the insult, the rest, and then finally the death. Finished. Okay? And so, that's the way that text goes, you see. So I'm looking just to make sure I don't skip anything that's important. And I'm going to move on now to John 19:31, which is the burial. So then the Jews, because it was Pesach, that the bodies not remain on the cross for the Shabbat, it was a very important one, this one. They asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. Why legs broken? I think I've explained already. The only thing keeping these men alive is that they are hoisting themselves up on their feet through the nail so that they can breathe. You break their legs, they can't do that anymore, and in a little while, they're dead. Now, when they got to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. But I guess just to make sure, the centurion ran him through with his spear. But at that moment, blood and water came out. And that's very important. That's why John says, see, and the one who has seen this has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows what he says is true. So that you may believe. Then these things came about so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now he quotes two texts. One, his bone will not be broken. That's the prescription for the Paschal Lamb. His bone. But it's also the description of the just man in the psalm. Where am I in this text now? Yeah, his Psalm 34, about it's the prescription of the Lamb is already applied to the just man. He's just man is a Paschal Lamb, as it's saying, with the Psalm said. So John combines these texts, which the Hebrew tradition had already combined. You see. But coming on Jesus, as they saw that he had already died, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers jabbed at his side with his lance, and suddenly blood and water came out. Now, physiologically, that might be a big surprise, but there's more to it, huh? Blood and water. And the commentators say, the blood of the Passion and the water of the Spirit. Came out, you see, from his side. And we have some beautiful texts in that regard that I'll quote in just a moment. And the one who has seen this is borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that what he says is true, so that you may believe. These things came about so that the scripture might be fulfilled. His bone will not be broken, and another one, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And that's the text from Zechariah, chapter 12, which is so mysterious. It's this text about the repentance of Israel and this one who is pierced. And the commentators are just as baffled as anybody else. Some say it even means they pierced Yahweh with remorse for having created them, or, you know, but they will gaze. But it's in the book of Revelation too. Maybe we should read that one in the book of Revelation. And that is 1:7. And the whole world will gaze on this one who is pierced. That's what it's saying here. He loves us and has washed away our sins with his blood and made us a line of kings, priests to serve his God. This is Jesus they're talking about. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. It is he who is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the races of the earth will mourn over him. This is the truth, because now they who see him are the whole world, and they see that open side which killed him so that he could rise again, but from which already the Spirit is poured out. And that's why the last line of this is, he breathed forth, or rather, he handed over, you see, the Spirit. The soldiers came and broke the legs, but of course Jesus was already dead. And that's earlier in the text, huh? That he breathed forth the Spirit. Not just last breath, the Spirit. He breathed forth the Spirit. Okay. And so that's the way that text goes now. And so they will look on him whom they pierced. What a grace to look at Jesus and see him pierced for my sins. To move me, therefore, to tremendous sorrow for my sins and a desire to join him in bringing the world to freedom, to righteousness. You see, I weep over the one I pierced. That's the gift of repentance. And that's the gift that comes from the cross. And it is just as important as the Paschal Lamb. So they have the text from the text in Exodus, which is picked up again there, the description of the just man, and not a bone of his will be broken. Jesus is Paschal Lamb and just man, but he's more. And that's where he picks up the Zechariah text, which, as I say and just read it for you, is in the book of Revelation. It is now worldwide and universal and eternal, the death of Jesus on the cross. And so it has been imparted, you see. And so now we'll stop this section and move on to the burial of Jesus.